So today's potluck and the young adults class knows why I brought in a turkey today. But as I was cooking that turkey in March, which seems a little odd, it made me think about Thanksgiving, and hence the lesson is going to be about Thanksgiving, joyfulness, and sacrifice. You know, we do have an awesome Heavenly Father, and the scriptures are full of examples of how people took time out of their busy lives to stop and give him some praise, which he is worthy of. Turn with me to Psalms 100. Psalms 100. And, you know, it has nothing to do with our singing, but it's kind of interesting that Psalms 100 says, starts with, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands." We are struggling a little bit this morning with our joyful shout, but that's okay. "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing," all of us. "Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." Frank used to nag us about singing with purpose when we sang our songs, and sing with understanding, which caused, I think, a few of us more than once to look to see what the scripture verse was that's normally at the top of the song, to see if we were getting the same message. We do need to sing with a purpose when we raise our voices unto God. But do we all sing with the idea that he's listening and he actually wants to hear us? I know some of you say that you can't sing, so you sing so soft that people can't hear you. But you know the one thing that I have found? When everybody's singing out, God can blend all them voices together and it sounds great. So when you're whispering, trying to be kind to your neighbor because you don't want to offend them, please, the Lord can't hear you either. Interesting verses in Nehemiah 12 and 46. It says, "For in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chiefs of singers." Imagine that, chiefs of singers. Exactly. "And songs of praise and thanksgiving to God." Turn back to Psalms 33. Picking up in about verse 1, the scripture says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous," that's you, "for praise from the upright," which is you, "is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy." "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." The praise of the upright is beautiful, and it will be wonderful in his sight. God created the heavens, the earth, and the seas with just his word, and it is standing to this day because he's commanded it to be so. God's creation is beautiful, and sometimes you're just going to have to stop and make an effort to see it. Now, I know, ladies, going hunting may not be high on your list of priorities, but there's something pretty special. I went out squirrel hunting on Tuesday. Now, the goal was to remove some fox squirrels that were tearing up some bird feeders of my dad's ex-wife. So the goal, I mean, it was a chore. It needed to be done. So I thought, okay, I volunteer. So I found a comfortable spot to sit. It was kind of up high on this ridge and looking down into this bowl of all these oak trees. And so I was, you know, looking right about the middle of the trees. I had no leaves on the trees, great visibility. And I was looking down to see if there's any little squirrelies running through the leaves. That was the plan. So the first thing I see as I'm walking up to this area, I see this black squirrel. Well, that's odd. I've never seen a black squirrel, you know, back on the farm, and thought that was a little unusual. And I saw his beady little eye through the crosshairs on my scope, and I thought, yeah, he's not on the list, though. I'm out here for fox squirrels. And who knows? This black squirrel might be a pet of Deanna's. You got to be careful about those things. So I let it go. Then a passel of red squirrels was tearing up the leaves not too far away from me, and I thought about them, you know, because they are a pest, but they were kind of far away from the house, so I thought, well, if they were closer to the house, then I would be more concerned, so I let them go. And then a couple of deer came cruising down into the bowl feeding, you know, and, you know, deer are pretty smart and alert, so if you're making any noise or waving your arms, they'll jet off, but they didn't because I didn't stand up and wave my arms. So they spent about a half hour down there, and I was being very careful not to make much movement. And then a little while later, I heard scratching, and I thought, aha, here he comes. And I'm looking, and all of a sudden this tom turkey popped out. And he was scratching in the leaves. Now, a turkey can see really good, and if you make any movement, they're gone. They're gone. So I sat patiently for about 45 minutes for this guy to get out of the way, and he came up like within 10 yards of me, never knew I was there. All that time I spent out there, and the Lord kept showing me all his creation, which you wouldn't normally see unless you were out there sitting quietly and patiently. After the little turkey left, then this little red squirrel came, and now he was tempting me. He was from me to that light, and he was about that high up. And I'm thinking, boy, you're just tempting me. Because if y'all heard my story about Rambo the red squirrel, you know I have no love for red squirrels. And he sat right up on that branch chewing on that nut for another 15, 20 minutes, and then it was time for me to go, so I got up, and then he freaked out and took off. No fox squirrels were taken. None were injured, if anybody has a thing about that. But I had a very successful time in the woods. It's difficult sometimes to put into words the beauty of God's creation, but after you sit out there for a while and you see it up close and personal, it paints a strong image in your mind. But beyond God's great physical creation, he has a personal care and concern for us that's hard to fathom, but it's there nonetheless. Psalms 103. Psalms 103. Picking up in about verse 8. The scripture says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them." He hasn't paid us what we were due, and his mercy lasts forever and ever. How do we express our thankfulness for that? How about the material possessions we've been blessed with? You know, most of the world craves to be in America, but because most of us don't travel outside the borders of the U.S., we don't understand why the big attraction. Well, I've been outside the borders of the U.S., and I understand that my little ranch-style house in most parts of the world would be considered a mansion. How about our salvation? Have we become so used to having received the gift of eternal rest that we no longer reflect on what a valuable gift it is? We've already won the ultimate lotto. We're just doing a little labor before we receive the promised payment, if indeed we have been added to the kingdom of God. Remember what Jesus said in John 3 and 5? Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So if you have heard and obeyed and been immersed for the forgiveness of your sins and to receive the indwelling presence of God's Holy Spirit, you're a member of God's family and his kingdom. The Apostle Paul had a good appreciation for the depth of the Christian debt and encouraged us to please the Lord by doing things such as he describes in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, picking up in about verse 9. Paul writes, he says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." Increasing in the knowledge of God's will, wisdom, and understanding is what he wanted for them to know and understand. They'd bingoed, they'd jackpotted, they'd crossed over into the new kingdom, and we have too, so we should live like it. We should live like it. Turn to chapter 3 in Colossians, picking up in about verse 12. Again, he's encouraging them. He says, "Therefore, as the elect of God," that's you, "holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you should also do." No, so you must do. "But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body. And be thankful." And be thankful. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." A lot of instructions were provided there. Are we that joyful? Are we that happy? Are we that appreciative of the things that God has already done for us? Or have we gotten just so comfortable in the routine of coming to assembly that it's kind of like, "Oh, it's good to see you all. I'll have potluck, you know, I'll catch you all later." Man, we should be joyful and pumped up and excited about the fact that we're here and that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And the potluck. Don't forget that. Need to be giving thanks constantly to God through Jesus. In the Old Testament, they had some tangible things that they could do. For example, when Solomon held the grand opening of God's house in 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. And I only bring this out because it's a demonstration of how pumped up they were about God and how much they appreciated him and how much they wanted to do to show him their appreciation. It's a little humbling as we go through this thing. 1 Kings 8, picking up in about verse 54. This is Solomon. He's about ready to do the grand opening of the temple. And so it was when Solomon had finished praying all this prayer and supplication to the Lord that he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. Then he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, "Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promises which he promised through his servant Moses. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to himself, to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and judgments which he commanded our fathers. And may these words of mine, with which I have made supplication before the Lord, be near the Lord our God day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel as each day may require. That all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God. There is no other. Let your heart therefore be loyal to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments as this day." Then the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifices before the Lord. And Solomon offered sacrifices of peace offerings, which he offered to the Lord, 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. That is mind-boggling. To think that they would sacrifice that much for the grand opening of the temple. That's a huge amount. I can't even imagine that many little sheepies. How much acreage would it take to hold that amount? A lot. A lot. What a good demonstration of their willingness to show God how much they appreciated what he was doing for them. What of our sacrifices today? What is our best we can give our God? The psalmist says in the 51st Psalm, verses 15 and 17, "O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." Giving yourself totally and completely over to the Lord is a decision you would have to make for yourself. It's not the ritual of throwing a few bucks in the plate and coming to assembly or making sure that you take the Lord's Supper every week. Those should be done out of love and compassion for God, for your love for him. But what about the rest of your week? And the people that you run into? Well, I'm at work, so I got my work personality, and I got my home personality, and I got the personality I take with me to church on Sunday. It should all be the same. It should all be the same. That is your sacrifice, by giving up your life that you want and you desire and living for the Lord. Paul says in Romans 12, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." It's not that big of a deal. It's the expected thing. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of the Lord." Use your bodies as a living sacrifice. Everything we do is in the service of God, and our minds need to stay focused on what he needs to be done here on the earth. Philippians chapter 4. Picking up in about verse 16. Paul writing, he says, "For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." I do not believe that I'll be speaking out of line, but I believe that the recent fundraiser to make sure that the saints in foreign countries are encouraged by the teaching of Steve is the sort of thing that God would be very pleased with. Now, this is a side note, and maybe it's just me, because he's my favorite brother. Have you ever considered that not only have you given the financial aid to provide the opportunity for other saints to be encouraged, but you have sacrificed your opportunity to be encouraged by Steve? Not only have you provided the saints in other countries with the opportunity to receive the same words with which you have grown by, and now they are growing, but we sent our very best teacher to do it. I don't think that anyone would argue that Steve has been blessed by God with a great deal of spiritual insight. And by sending Steve, we are sacrificing our personal opportunity to be encouraged by him for the betterment of others. Now, obviously, I'm filling in when he's not here, so maybe I notice it a lot more than you. But I notice how many second hours I got to do, and I do not get bored with anything that my brother says. You know, I am constantly encouraged by his word, and you would think after spending 3 days in a vehicle with him that, you know, he would start cycling around over again. You know, I don't get bored. 3-day Bible study. It was pretty awesome. So when I think of when we put the money together to send him to other places, I feel it. I feel it when he's gone. Like I said, you know, maybe it's just me because he's my favorite brother. But I think of it as a sacrifice when he's not here. So I sacrifice the funds to help him to get there. It's kind of like shooting yourself two times. Right foot, we give him the money. Left foot, we send him. It's like self-inflicted gunshot wound. For the Vietnam era guys, you'll know what I'm talking about. All right. God has not asked us to give what we don't have, but rather we are to offer to God what is ours to give, appreciation from the heart for all that he's done for us. Even our faith, which saves us, comes from him, and we need to be thankful for it. Colossians 2 and 6, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." Colossians 4 and 2, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving." Philippians 4 and 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." In closing, consider your praises of the Lord. Are they offered with joy and gladness? Are you thanking God throughout this week for all the many blessings that he's bestowed upon you and the things that he has done in your life and the many blessings that you have as a result of it? Are you offering the sacrifices unto God? Are you offering your Lord, your body and mind? Physical things, praises of your mouth, what is it that you're offering? Are we sharing with others the same spiritual blessings that we have received? That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to be a sacrifice, to provide a way for a sinful man to repent of his sins, a way for the sinful man to bury his old man in the waters of baptism and to receive this precious, precious gift of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, which will help strengthen you in the trials that you will face as you come back to God the Father and enjoy an eternal life. Psalms 100 again. "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his sheep, and we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. I'd like to close with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, picking up in about verse 14. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Thessalonica, has this encouragement. He says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So this morning, as we close and we move into potluck mode, think about all the many blessings that you have received from the Lord, including the opportunity to share this meal with like-minded saints and share some of your trials and successes you've enjoyed as you've walked with the Lord. Because we need to do more than anything is encourage one another to be strengthened in the inner man. And when you share some of your trials and your tribulations that you've endured and that you've made it through, that encourages somebody else that's probably had exactly the same thing happen to them and they didn't know what to do. So fellowship one with another at this meal. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed with a word of prayer.